With healthcare exchanges in place, a rising number of scams and fraud schemes are making an appearance. Richard Eisenberg joins the show now with some advice on avoiding scams. He's a senior web editor for Next Avenue. It's a new PBS website aimed at people over 50. And Richard, thanks for being here.
Richard, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
So before we get into the particulars of Affordable Care Act scams, it's kind of a sad reality, isn't it, that when we get something like this consumer-related in the news, there are going to be scams. We can expect that, right?
Unfortunately, that is true. The head of the Federal Trade Commission recently said that every time there are new developments in the marketplace or new government programs, scammers come out of the woodwork because they want to take advantage, often of uncertainty and confusion. That's when they do their best business.
And while the Affordable Care Act isn't just about older Americans, they tend to be targets of scams like this, don't they?
That's often true. In fact, one of the scams we'll talk about is trying to confuse people between Medicare and the Affordable Care Act.
Well, let's start there. What kind of Medicare-related scams did you find out about when you looked into this?
Yeah, well, we've heard from, particularly from AARP, they've been getting a lot of complaints from their members, from people who are over 65 who say they're getting phone calls from people who say they're going to lose their Medicare coverage unless they give the caller their Social Security number and other private information. And basically what they're trying to do is make people think, people over 65 think that they need to that the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare and Medicare are sort of interchangeable. And the fact is that, in fact, it's against the law for somebody over 65 with Medicare to use one of the exchanges. It is for people who do not have insurance. And, of course, Medicare is insurance.
We'll probably wrap up with some, I guess, hygiene tips for people to avoid scams, but it seems like that's a real warning siren there. If somebody calls you up unsolicited and is asking you for a Social Security number, is that something that should just be a red light in any occasion?
That's absolutely true. I mean, there's no time when anybody from the government is going to call anybody up and ask for a Social Security number. So if anyone says that, that is absolutely a red flag.
They're the government. They already have the Social Security number, right?
Well, or they ought to.
Yeah. All right. And so you've also heard about an Obamacare card. What's that scam?
Well, yeah, this is a scam that the Better Business Bureau is talking about and warning people against. Some people are getting phone calls saying you need to, if you want to get insurance through the Affordable Care Act, the Obamacare exchanges, you need to get the Obamacare card. And there is no Affordable Care card. There's no Obamacare card. This is a scam. So if anybody says you have to, you know, turn over any information to get one of these cards sent to you, again, it is just not true.
And so when the scam is done, I assume it's over phone or email, and they're saying, we'll help you get your card. Just give us whatever dangerous information they want to get out of that.
Yeah. In fact, they make it sound as though you could not get insurance through the exchanges unless you got your card, and you couldn't get your card unless you gave them your information. It's all not true.
All right. And now there's some, and you mentioned confusion is a part of this. There are real navigators, they're called, navigators in the Affordable Care Act. Tell us about them a little, and then tell us about the fake version.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, because this is a whole new system that nobody's had any experience with before, it can often be confusing. And that's why part of the law created this whole breed of advisors that are known as navigators. They usually work for places like the United Way and local agencies, and their whole job is to help the public sign up for coverage. But what's happening is that there are people calling or emailing people saying that they are navigators when they aren't. And once again, this is really basically just another scam with identity fraud in mind, where they're either trying to get your identity or they're trying to sell you phony health insurance. And on top of that, they're often saying you need to pay a few hundred dollars for their services. In reality, navigators do not charge. They're not supposed to. They're not allowed to. And so, you know, if somebody's calling you or saying that they're a navigator, you want to be absolutely certain that they are. And frankly, you shouldn't be getting a call like that. It's up to you to find the navigators. They're not supposed to be finding you.
And where should people go to find real navigators as opposed to the fake ones calling people up?
Well, the best place to start, and, you know, we've all heard about the problems that it's had, but the website healthcare.gov, which is the main site that introduces people into this whole new system, is the place to start. And when you go there, in fact, it'll probably be easier for you to use that site to find a navigator than to use that site to actually try to enroll in the system, only because, as we know, that website has some flaws they're trying to figure out. But you should easily be able to find navigators that way. Another thing you could do is just call your town, city hall, and ask them, can they direct you to the local agencies that have navigators? And they could do that, too.
Now, most of the scams we've talked about are the fraudster comes to us. They call us, they send us an email, whatever. How about if we're going out searching online? Are there things we can run into that will lead us astray there?
Yeah, I would warn people about certain websites that look like they're real, but they're not. And this is the sort of thing that comes up often after there's a natural disaster where con artists, knowing that people want to be helpful, you know, create these websites and say, come to us and we will get the money to the people who need it. And in many cases, they're not. They don't do that. Well, the same thing's happening here with the Affordable Care Act, except in this case, the sites that are popping up are supposed to look like the healthcare exchanges, but they aren't. There was one in Pennsylvania called the Pennsylvania Health Exchange, which by its name sounds legitimate, but in fact, it was run by a private insurance broker. And once the word got out and the regulators heard about it, they shut it down, essentially. So, you know, the moral there is if you want to find your state's health exchange, you could either go through your state health department and see if you can find it that way online, or, again, go to healthcare.gov. And I just did this morning. They have a very easy scroll-down list of every state in the country. You click on it, and it will then say, here's what you need to do. So if you live in Wisconsin, you find Wisconsin, and it will show you where to go to work through the exchanges in your state.
Now, let's get some advice. I think a lot of people may be in the situation where their elderly parents aren't thinking as quickly as they used to. They're worried they might be vulnerable to scams. What kind of conversations should people be having with their parents in that situation?
Well, I think the first thing you'd want to do is if your parents are over 65, you want to say to them they don't need to worry about everything in this hearing regarding the Affordable Care Act because that does not apply to people who are on Medicare. So I think that will put their minds at ease and also prevent them, hopefully, from being scammed by people who are trying to get to them when there's no reason why they should. Now, if your parents are under 65 in their early 60s or in their 50s, then I think you want to caution them about phone calls that they might get or emails that they might get from people who claim to be helping them when they really aren't. And, you know, the bottom line is you want to ignore any kind of unsolicited calls that you or your parents get. Same thing with emails. If you get them and they say, we're here to help you, you know, with the Affordable Care Act, chances are they're not.
And red flags, what kind of information would people be asking for that should instantly set off our scam alarm?
Well, if you're ever asked for your Social Security number, if you're ever asked for your bank account number, you know, these are the ways primarily the con artists try to get to your financial records so that they can either get into your bank account or get your credit card number, and then they start using that to buy things. So anytime somebody is asking you for anything that is, you know, private information relating to your finances or Social Security, that's a red flag.
And just briefly, I know you've been tracking the progress of the new healthcare exchange website. You mentioned that earlier. Any advice for people using the proper and legitimate system if they start running into trouble there?
Well, I guess the first thing I would say is, you know, while it's great to, you know, get started and learn about this and get the insurance that you want for next year, people should understand that they don't necessarily have to do it today. You have until December 15th to sign up for coverage, which would then begin January 1st. So it may be worthwhile to sort of hold off a week or two or three and wait until more of the kinks in the system on the website in particular are worked out so that by the time you actually start to use it, it'll work out well for you. Otherwise, all I can say is try it out if you want to now. Hope that it's going to work out. You know, the government is certainly aware of the problems. You know, the main issue that the government's website had was in the way that they created it, they were asking for a lot of information from people before they could get any information about the insurance that they might have. And so they couldn't really sort of shop around because they had to spend so much time providing information. I think what will happen is the websites are going to be made simpler, so they'll basically say, if this is what you think you want, here's the kind of insurance you want, and then you'll sort of be able to know what you're dealing with, and then you can enroll after that.
All right. Richard, thank you so much for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thanks, Rob.
That was Richard Eisenberg with the PBS website Next Avenue.